today. Thursday's high topping out at 90. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well this morning or afternoon, depending on where you guys might be. I know we got some folks on the Eastern time zone, so afternoon to you guys. We got Chase behind the glass. You guys can see him up at the top. We're going to be rocking and rolling. We got Clint Lamb joining us here at the top of the hour, as we typically do. I know we've had to move some things around, but I think we have him back on. So looking forward to having that conversation. Had a great conversation yesterday with none other than Josh Pate of Josh Pate's College Football Show. I know you guys all know who Josh is. Well, he joined us yesterday, had a great interview with him. If you guys missed it, don't worry. I posted that independently on our YouTube channel, and that's why I always urge you guys to check us out on YouTube. If you haven't already, at the Miller's Edge, just search us up. It's completely free. Just hit that subscribe button, that like button on all the videos. That always helps us out. And drop some comments, show us some love again. That always helps us out, and we appreciate you guys supporting us there. So, yeah, go check out that video if you haven't already. We talked all things Alabama going into this 2026 season. Of course, Josh, he makes his way to Tuscaloosa pretty often. His wife used to work here on staff, if you guys didn't know that. Shout out to Savannah. But that said, Josh got to see this football team in the spring, so we got to catch up with him, get his thoughts on Alabama post-spring, I guess almost post-summer, Chase, right? SEC Media Days a week out, and hey, man, we were fortunate. Josh was cool, man. He said, hey, I hadn't taught football in a whole week. I'm coming off vacation. So he let us be the ones to kind of hit the defrost button for him. So we talked Alabama. We talked SEC, some of the teams that he anticipates being the contenders in the conference. And, of course, a little bit on the national level. I talked a little bit about Oregon, Notre Dame, some of these teams that a lot of people have expectations for in 2026 as well. So make sure you guys check that out. In terms of that breakdown video that I've been talking about, it's supposed to drop today, and that is the goal. Chase, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, man, I am sometimes too much of a perfectionist. I sat in front of this computer for about an hour and a half yesterday recording this breakdown. Trashed the whole thing, man. I trashed the whole thing. Now, granted, the breakdown was not an hour and a half. I sat here for an hour and a half. But I just... You know, you have some of those days, man, where it's just like your brain's just kind of not flowing. They just like mentally, you're just drained. The things aren't really clicking great. Well, I had a great show yesterday, but then I'm just going to be honest with you, man, trying to make myself do that breakdown video in that moment of time just wasn't it. And I just kept trying to push. Next thing I know, Chase, like an hour and a half almost has passed. I'm still only on like the intro itself, because I have a graphic I'm going to put up, go over some numbers. Chase, I don't know what was wrong with me, man. I kept having to restart. Like an hour goes by, and I'm only like on like the first play or two. I got to like play three. And I said, you know what? This is not to my standard, right? So we talk about standards. You heard Josh Pate talking about the Alabama standard, right? Should be making the playoffs. We have a standard here on the Miller's Edge, right? So it's got to be good quality. Breakdown was it? I wasn't feeling it yesterday. Good news is we're going to re-record today. And the goal is for that video to be up this afternoon / tonight, around 6 or so, hopefully. If not, it will be tomorrow. But again, we're going to discuss Alabama's secondary. It is a good breakdown video. Well, will be, since we got to restart it. But we go into a lot of good details on all the guys in the secondary, touch on a couple of the young players or, I guess, depth pieces. But going to be a two-part series. I'm looking forward to doing it. But anyway, that was how I spent my afternoon yesterday, Chase. Pretty much about ripped my hair out trying to get a video done, and it wasn't happening, man. You could just tell. The brain wasn't flowing. We have those times sometimes, right? It's normal. So anyway, we'll make sure we get that, guys, to you as soon as possible. In terms of what we got to discuss today, a couple things that have come up in the headlines, Chase, that I want to throw out there first and foremost. Speaking of SEC Media Days, right? We've got the official card on who's going to be attending, right? As you guys can see on this graphic, I guess you can't really see well who those guys are. I'll read the names. You got Bray Hubbard, senior safety out of Mississippi. You got Ryan Coleman Williams, junior wide receiver out of South Alabama, and Xavien Brown, junior corner out of California. I don't know why I'm saying like where they're from, like they're boxers or something. But anyway, those are going to be your attendees for SEC Media Day for Alabama. I think it's a great list. And normally, Chase, this is a pretty good indication on who some of the leaders are on the team, right? And I think it can change. Of course, I think these guys are going to be leaders one way or another, but I'm almost referring to like expectations on maybe who the captains could be. I think if we can get into that in a second, maybe kind of play a little bit of a guessing game, who we think the captains or leaders will be on this 2026 Alabama football team, because it is a young team. And one thing that I noticed is definitely, you know, defense heavy when it comes to veteran presence, right? I mean, think about offensively, there's a lot of youth. So I expect a lot of guys defensively to be stepping up. But Ryan Coleman Williams, him being selected to go and represent Alabama, I think that's a clear indicator. He has been one of those guys. And we've heard Coach DeBoer talk about that, right? He's mentioned that in various interviews that he's done this spring and summer, just talking about Ryan Coleman Williams stepping up, being that leader, being more of a vocal presence for this football team. So pretty crazy, man. Dude was like the 17-year-old kid. No disrespect to him. I mean, he was literally like, you know, I don't even know what the ages are nowadays, but 18 used to be like the legal age to pretty much do anything, really. He was 17 in college. I mean, dude couldn't do anything, but I guess go to class. But anyway, he's grown up now. He'll be representing Alabama at Media Day, so that's cool to see. Looking forward to that again. We'll have coverage there. I know Wyatt. I think you mentioned Ryan as well. I don't know if Gary, but we'll have multiple people down there, so make sure you guys stay up to date with that. We're going to pocket watch a little bit too, by the way. I saw that On3, they have their new top 10 NIL valuations. And then I saw that Shannon Terry, right, he posted, I guess, a little note, which I didn't realize is, Chase, they have a feature, and I don't know how new this is. Maybe it's old. Maybe I'm just late to the party. But they can verify now if these valuations are, in fact, you know, verified. They're legit. So, kind of interesting. I clicked on the first one, right? I'll just give you a sneak peek. You got Darian Mensah, transfer quarterback from Duke to Miami. We all hear about the $6.5 million that he was offered, or I guess that he received. Well, that was verified, Chase. So that's not just speculation. Sounds like dude really got $6.5 million, which we're talking about a college quarterback. Kind of wild, right? I mean, he's making a lot more money than a lot of people in the NFL, to be honest with you. I mean, he's making a lot more money playing college quarterbacks. So anyway, we might pocket watch a little bit, see if we see any, I don't know, maybe should we look at some Alabama guys on there? I feel bad pocket watching. Chase is nodding his head. Chase, see, you're a bad influence, man. We shouldn't pocket watch, but it's hard not to when it's right there for everybody on the internet. I mean, why not? I also saw this, by the way. Speaking of Alabama, you got this new poster. I think Way Off Sides had posted this poster. As you guys can see, you got the guys that are attending SEC Media Day, but also Yonze Pierre, Keon Sab. Again, I mean, I feel like all the vets on this team are on the defense. You got one guy on the offense. Now, I would imagine whoever ends up being the starting quarterback ends up emerging a little bit more in that leadership role as well, and maybe a little bit more on the forefront when it comes to stuff like this. But right now, Chase, I feel like all we see is defense, defense, defense. But I guess outside of Ryan, whoever earns the quarterback spot, I mean, the offensive line, I mean, Michael Carroll is a returner on that offensive line, and he's going to be an impact player in his college career. So I guess you can start throwing him in that mix maybe a little bit too, but a lot of youth there. So anyway, just a few things we'll hit on that. Plus, when we come back, we got plenty more we'll dive into. Again, we got Clint Lamb coming up at the top of the hour right here on the Miller's Edge, Talking Tuesday edition, which also means we encourage you guys to get in on the conversation. 205-342-9904 is the phone lines. Of course, you can always join us on the streams at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, on X, on Tide 100.9's Facebook page. We got plenty to dive into. We'll keep responding. Some of the stuff we talked about yesterday with Josh Pate and more. And again, you guys are the co-hosts, so get in on the action. We got Clint at the top of the hour, so if you guys want to call in, I recommend you guys do that before 12, and then maybe after Clint gets off, probably around 12:30 or so would probably be the next best window to jump in on the conversation. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
It's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Yes!
Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, let's talk about a couple things that we got pulled up here, Chase. Always a bookmark and tweets, man. If there's anything out there that you guys see that you want us to talk about or you got a question about, please let us know. I'd be glad to give it a look. All right, so speaking about pocket watching, right, I hate to do that, but can't help it sometimes, Chase. Mensa, his $6.5 million is verified. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Again, this is from On3. You click on Mensa right here. Let me share it with the chat real quick. Hold on. Let me go back to the stream. That way you guys can see it. You see that six and a half right there, Chase, with that green dot or that green check? That means it's legit. So that dude is legit getting $6.5 million. Now, what I wanted to do, I was like, I wonder if there's anybody else on this list that we can verify. And the only reason, listen, I'm not trying to pocket watch, but also know, shout out to our guy, Brandon Clare. He's always saying like, hey, man, I think we should start making these numbers public. So when he said that, it, you know, it stuck with me and I saw this come up. I'm like, whoa, it sounds like we're kind of on the path to making this stuff public. Now, they just have the top 10 on this list. And get this, Chase, it includes, I'll just throw up the whole list, by the way. It includes football and basketball, but from 1 to 10, the lowest on that list, Chase, is $10 million. Or excuse me, $5 million. I'm sorry. $5 million. I mean, that's crazy, man. Which I'm still trying to understand how this really works because, remember, we're supposed to have, like, the revenue share cap. I mean, where did that go? I mean, $5 million, that's a big chunk if you're including that. Does this include both the rev share cap and the independent deals that are the third party deals that these schools might be trying to get them? I mean, Dante Moore, $5 million at quarterback for Oregon. I mean, it kind of makes, I won't say, it makes a little bit more sense why he would return to school. Remember, this past draft, he was viewed as arguably the number two quarterback in the draft, right? He ends up returning to school, wanted to work on some things. When you're getting $5 million to go back to school, Chase, I think it makes that decision a whole hell of a lot easier. I think he would have ended up, if he ends up being the second pick, I mean, you saw a second quarterback taken. We saw Ty taken in that middle round, or middle of the first round, and not a pocket watch there, but I'm pretty sure signing bonus was probably, what, like $14, $15 million. So, I mean, he probably would have been okay if he still left, but $5 million to play another year of college ball, then have a chance to go make that $15 million the following year. That sounds okay to me. Jeremiah Smith, that wide receiver, $5 million. Let's click on his and see if that's verified. I mean, I have a feeling that's probably going to be verified too. What do you think about that, Chase? Because remember, him and Ryan Coleman-Williams are kind of like neck and neck when they first were, you know, freshmen coming on the scene. People are trying to say, hey, who's the better of the two? They're going to be the top two wide receivers. I know their paths have been slightly different if you just go off of last season, but clicking on Jeremiah Smith, his $5 million is also verified, at least according to On3. Let me ask you this, Chase. Ryan Coleman-Williams versus Jeremiah Smith. Let's revisit that conversation. Now that we have a little bit more of an idea on these values, who are you taking? Because, oh, actually, you know what? Maybe we should, I hate to pocket watch one of our own guys, but I'm curious now. The reason I'm asking this question is because I remember if you asked this question about a year or two ago or whatever it was, it was probably a little bit different of a conversation, I would say, right? I feel like there's a little bit more back and forth on who you might take. If you go off of kind of the trajectory of where these guys are at right now, I think most people are going to lean Jeremiah Smith. However, I can almost guarantee you Jeremiah Smith is at least making double what Ryan would probably be making, right? Because I remember the number, at least like from a year or two ago, I think it was kind of floated around. It was north of seven figures, but I don't think it was even really in the twos. I don't know where it would be at now. Things change, right? Values change for good or for worse. There's an article from On3 talking about that. Actually, was very interesting. We'll bring that up here in a minute. Talking about, hey, well, if guys get paid or expect to get paid more for their star rankings and these bumps that they get, does it work in the opposite direction? If a guy goes from a 5-star to a 4-star, do we now say, hey, instead of paying you seven figures, now you get 700K? Anyway, I was trying to pull this up. But when you look at those two wide receivers, Chase, right, and where they're currently at right now going into this upcoming season, and you had to make a decision between the two of them. All right, here we go. Here's Ryan's, which I hate the pocket watch, but again, this is all public knowledge now. It's showing that his 1.8 is verified. Now, Ryan had a little bit of a sophomore slump last season, but we all know the potential that the young man has. Great, great kid, by the way. Great young man off the field, by the way. Let's be clear. But if you had to pick one wide receiver, your wide receiver one for your college football team, I think they're about to start doing Yahoo Sports. I don't know, whatever it's called, fantasy football. Imagine we're playing this game, but there's budgets involved. Jeremiah Smith for $5 million or Ryan Coleman Williams at $1.8 million. Chase Norris, Chase, you go first. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Jer for sure. I go with Jeremiah Smith. I think with his production, I think with the quarterbacks he's had in comparison to the quarterbacks Ryan has had, and even if the slump that Ryan did have, even if he didn't have that slump, I just feel like because of Jer's ability to stay consistent throughout different coverages that he has faced throughout his years for Ohio State. And I think you look at just wherever you have him on the field, he's noticeable. And even when he's getting double teamed or, you know, they're throwing different packages at him, he's still being able to make an impact where you just can't stop him. You know, he's fast, he's tall, he's able to use his route running ability to get open. And I think just, and that's one thing that Ryan is working on, I think, is leadership. I think Jer's leadership on and off the field has been an unsung hero. At times where, like, Cornell Tate and others are not really stepping up in the game, Jer is there to pick it up. In games against Michigan and other games last year and previous, I just feel like he's just a wide receiver that I feel like a lot of NFL GMs would just mark off immediately. Then say with Ryan too. It's neck and neck, but I just feel like in terms of just
because of that slump.
Yeah, I feel like the slump just did not help him, and I just feel like Jer is just not.
He's killing it right now.
Exactly, but yeah, that's what I'd go with.
Yeah, no. Well, listen, if you're talking about what they've done on the field, I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say most people will lean Jeremiah Smith right now because number one, I mean, in terms of again, like production, what they've been doing, or at least as of last season. Oh, no, I'm going to let you answer the second, Norris. But the other thing I want to add on there is, like you mentioned, Chase, you're talking about a guy that's got elite measurables and traits, right? You know what I mean? Like, typically when you talk about some of these bigger receivers, you know, like, for example, like DK Metcalf, a lot of people say they're one-dimensional, right? They're vertical threats, can't really run the intermediate things. I'm just saying, to me, Jeremiah Smith, I mean, he's explosive. I feel like he's got solid route running. Right, he could take the top off. I mean, he's just, I mean, there's a lot of scouts and NFL personnel will tell you, like, I mean, this guy probably could have been a first round draft pick as a true freshman, which clearly that's not allowed. But I mean, we're talking about a generational type of player. At least it appears that way. And I don't like throwing that word around like that, but I'm just saying, I mean, this dude is special. Ryan's got a very strong skill set as well. He's definitely on the smaller side. We know that. But in terms of the ball in his hands, I mean, he's like a highlight reel. Right? Struggles with drops. We got to clean that up. But I mean, Ryan deserves his respect in his own right. But the reason I'm asking this question is now that we're starting to see these these valuations, I kind of think it's fun to put our GM hats on, right? Because we can talk about how special Jeremiah Smith is, and he's clearly, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in the country. But he's getting paid $5 million, Chase. And it kind of explains why maybe, and I'm not making excuses right now, because I know a lot of people still have frustrations about recruiting and all that, but there's a rhyme and reason for certain things, and others are just misses. It is what it is, right? We just call facts, right? We're objective here. But the reality is you got to make some business decisions, right? And if you're choosing between these two, as great as it would be to have Jeremiah Smith, $5 million, if we are actively working under a cap or whatever it should be, that's a big chunk of your budget, man. That's a big chunk of your budget. And we heard Josh Pate talk about it. He had an interesting point. He said a lot of teams take the route that they really invest heavily from like the high school ranks, at least the guys that they feel like are going to be future first rounders at those specific positions that they put the most value on. Quarterback, wide receiver, right? You know, those big time playmakers, edge rushers. And it makes sense, right? Ohio State got Jeremiah Smith out of high school. And they invested heavily in him and is paying dividends. Guys that can play early and contribute. So that makes sense. But I just thought it was interesting when you compare. I mean, that's a whole $3.2 million difference. I mean, think about it like this, Chase and Norris. I'm going to let you answer real quick. That means you could, for Jeremiah Smith, and instead you could have Ryan Williams and then take that $3.2 million and go get this guy, Cam Coleman. He's at $3 million, and that's verified. So now that makes the question even different. Now, would you rather have one Jeremiah Smith or would you have Cam Coleman and Ryan Coleman Williams? Because them together is still $200,000 shy of what Jeremiah Smith is getting, allegedly, according to On3, and these are verified numbers. Norris, now that we threw all that out there, I'm going to pass the mic to you. How do you view this? Would you rather have one Jeremiah Smith or would you have Cam Coleman and Ryan Coleman Williams working together and still save yourself $200K to maybe go get yourself a little bit of
that's easy for me. I said Cam Coleman and Ryan Coleman Williams because that's just one right. player. You got two good players. They're not – Ryan just had a slump. Cam Coleman still's good, but just like that's just one player. You have two phenomenal players right here. Mm-hmm. Then you also saving money at the same time.
Yeah, $200K, I mean, you get you a nice little development guy, maybe like a three-star that's got a lot of upside to him, maybe a low-rated four-star, maybe?
Yeah, three-star that's better than five-star.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, it could be. Now, let me backtrack because I know we get this time out. The original question, $5 million Jeremiah Smith or $1.8 million Ryan Coleman Williams if you had to pick between the two? Chase went Jeremiah Smith. Be honest now. Again, we're honest on this show, man. It's not hurting anybody's feelings. We're just being honest. Being honest. I guess, listen, I probably should have specified the budget too, because I'll be honest. If you have a Texas Tech, a Texas, an Ohio State budget, listen, we all love Ryan, but I think most people would probably lean a little bit more towards Jeremiah Smith, right? I mean, this dude kind of checks like every box. However, if you're talking about Alabama's budget, which, again, I think is better than what many people believe, they're just a little bit more discipline in the way that they spend, might make more sense lean towards Ryan. But anyway, I don't know. You guys think on that. Norris, I'm going to let you slide. You ain't got to answer that. Chat, you guys, let me know what you guys think. Of course, radio listeners, you guys can drop an app message or call in 205-342-9904. We'll keep playing a little bit along this game and talk about a couple other things that will come up. Again, we got Clint Lamb joining us at the top of the hour. Kind of crazy now. Brandon Cleary has been talking about it. Put these numbers public. Well, and maybe this has been on there, but On3, man, they got these verified check marks, and we're not talking about Instagram check marks. These are valuation check marks. So we kind of do have an idea on what some of these guys are making. Maybe we'll pocket watch a little bit more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation...
What's possible? Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more, or visit Tremfya. Radio.com.
Your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right, Chase, this is what I found during the break, man. Only other verified for Alabama would be Keelan Russell, and they've got him verified at 2 M's. So sorry to pocket watch, but that's what we got right there, 2 M's. Was that more or less?
If it's out there, you're good.
All right. I was about to say, it's public knowledge, right? Anybody can go to on3.com. Anybody can go to on3.com. 2 M's, Chase. Keelan Russell, I guess that's verified right there. Now, there's been a lot of talk. The only reason I'm bringing this up, not so much the pocket watch, but there's a lot of talk about all the quarterbacks that Alabama's taking. I know some people are like, man, that's a lot to be investing in one position. Some people feel that they're probably not making as much money as some people would maybe assume they would be making. Two M's for Keelan Russell, is that more or less than what you probably expected?
I would say a little less. I think with all of the recruiting that he's been surrounded and just all the upside to his game, and especially how much it's going to be more around these other quarterbacks that are in his class. And like you said earlier, which I think it's a good representation of Alabama, they spend wisely. They don't spend like how Texas Tech and other universities do. But yeah, I thought it was a little less than what way he was recruited and what people were telling me behind the scenes. So I was a little shocked at how much he was getting. Yeah, a side note, it's crazy that we're talking about how much players are earning, because this would have been prohibited a few years ago. Sanctions everywhere. I just think it's just crazy to me, Christian.
Well, this is what's going to make it even crazier for you. Like LaToya just said in the chat, so that means Keelan is making more than Clem, the offensive line coach. Yeah, I mean, there are a number of guys that make more than what these coaches are making, right? Think about it. All those top players we talked about earlier, they're making more. I mean, they're making more than some head coaches at smaller schools. Think about it. $5-6 million for the top guys. I mean, really, like the top head coaches are making, you know, 10 plus annually. Think about schools that are still quality schools, but they're a little bit small. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably what head coaches are making. But yeah, I mean, if you think it from that sense, I mean, technically, he's probably making more than every position coach outside of the coordinators. You know, I mean, he hadn't won the starting job just yet. I expect him to be the starter. So I guess I say all this to say, when you think about how Alabama's recruiting all these quarterbacks. To your point, Chase, you said it was a little bit under what you were anticipating. I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to probably be on a little bit more of a reserve side just because they got in on him early. Remember, he was committed to SMU. You know what I'm saying? Like, they really recruited him for quite some time, so they probably were able to get a little bit of a, not a discount, but you know what I mean. Like, realistically, another school probably could have swooped in and offered him a whole bunch more. He probably could have got offered a lot of. He probably could have got offered maybe double that if he wanted to hit the portal, right? But I guess what I'm getting at is, if he's making that, I mean, Austin Mack, would you think is making more or less? Remember, Austin Mack, he was a recruit from Washington, transferred in with Coach DeBoer. I mean, I think he reclassed, so he was probably a top 150 recruit, but not the number one overall or whatever Keelan was. He's also, you know, a year older, so, I mean, he stayed behind. You say renegotiated something. I think he's probably maybe slightly under, you think. What do you think, Chase?
I agree, Christian. I don't think it's a staggering number, because I feel like with Austin Mack's situation, he came back more for playing time, not necessarily to negotiate NIL or how much he's worth, because he still wants to be the starting quarterback, and he feels like he's in a position where he can beat out Keelan Russell. And then, with the experience of being under Kalen DeBoer and his system, I don't think it was much of like, hey, like, we'll pay you this much, you know, this grand amount. It's just like, hey, like, you have an opportunity to be the QB1 here at Alabama. You have to prove it, and we feel like you have the intangibles to do it.
He definitely had to get some type of raise to stay, right? Because, I mean, other schools are offering the guy money. But I don't know what that might be. I guess what I'm trying to... If you look at our approach, I mean, we're recruiting a number of these quarterbacks, but let's say if Keelan's making two, I'll be honest with you, I would probably guess he's making the most in that room. So we say everybody else is under that. Let's just say the average underneath that is, even if it was like, I don't know if I would even say one, because I feel like Austin Mack probably is in that seven-figure range if they got him to stay. But let's just say he's at one or a little bit over one. That's like three something for the two of those guys. Miami's paying Mensa 6.5 for one, which I guess you feel like you know what you're getting out of that one. But then you have two really good options. It's kind of like the game we just played a second ago, Chase. I mean, I almost feel like Alabama's approach, I kind of understand kind of how they're going about it. because not only are you paying less, but you have more swings at it. Does that make sense? Like, I mean, yeah, you could go pay $5 million for a proven quarterback and you kind of know what you're getting, but that's just one player, right? Like, look at Texas Tech. I know the guy that's going to end up starting now, that the Sorsby thing is done. They paid Sorsby, what, like $5 million transfer in? The backup that's coming off that injury, I mean, he's still a quality, he's a quality player, but I feel like what Alabama's doing, you're kind of like farming these guys, you're developing them. You know, one or two are going to leave probably here or there, but it sounds like they're getting them at a pretty solid rate compared to everybody else. And they're still quality players. They're homegrown too, or at least home developed. So anyway, I don't know. We can be done pocket watching. Benny, I just thought that was interesting. Ever since I saw this, along with that article earlier from On3, I was kind of intrigued. I'm like, maybe we can kind of talk about that, put our thinking caps, our GM caps on, discuss a little bit. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. I got something else I want to discuss in terms of NIL stuff. There's the article I just was referring to by Pete Nakos. He was just talking about kind of how these things go in terms of star rankings and I guess values. We could hit on that. But also, there's a contenders by tier list from CBS Sports, Brad Crawford. Pretty sure he mainly covers South Carolina, but he's a writer with CBS Sports. He has six tiers, Chase, for college football in terms of kind of his expectations for 2026. And I thought we could take a look at that and where he placed Alabama. So we got that coming up. And, of course, Clint Lamb joining us at the top of the hour as well, right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Professionals at ADT Precision Armory. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, behind Big John's Barbecue in Moundville. They do the weird stuff.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Tecilia, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk with him. We'll talk to Pete Utah. And a big question for those Alabama fans. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep your umbrella open to dodge the raindrops. Cloudy skies, periods of showers and thunderstorms. It'll feel warm at 84. Gentle southeast breeze at 5. Wet weather continues tonight, leaving things damp down to 71. Sunny, warm, and sticky tomorrow with afternoon thunderstorms. High tomorrow, 88. And bright sunshine, hot temperatures as we move into Thursday. Thursday's high topping out at 90. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From kickoff to the final whistle, we've got you covered. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Another Miller's Edge, Tide 1.9. Chase, real quick, I got to ask you before we move on from pocket watching. I just saw this, man. Ohio State, they had Julian Sands' number up there. $2.5 million for Mr. Julian Sands. So between Sands and Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State, according to On3, verified numbers, is paying $7.5 million just for the quarterback-receiver combo. Keelan and Ryan together, $3.8 million. What's your choice, man? That's really pretty much half the price, right? Just a little over half, right? Technically, 3.8, 7.6. But you get the point. Keelan and Ryan for half the price, or Jeremiah and Julian Sam? Remember, you can put that money in other places now. I mean, football, you got 11 on and 11 on each side of the football.
Yeah, there you go.
What's your answer, though? You can be honest.
I think trying to be financially smart, I'm going to go with
Keelan and Ryan.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because you're right. Like, you have other players that need to eat. And if you're not having other players eat, you're not going to be a very good football team. And Keelan and Ryan, they are highly recruited. And I feel like Keelan's going to have a really good season, whether it's this season or next season. And Ryan's proved that before. And quite honestly, with the market value, with everything, is that you have to pay for a top player more and more every single season. So why not build around players that want to play for you, A, two, that you know they're going to stay or have a good chance. And then three, it also continues to build your culture of what UA is, instead of just having to just pay top dollar for any player. And, you know, it drives kind of what UA isn't. And I feel like it would be like if Ohio State or Texas Tech, yeah, you're going to pay top dollar because you want to win now. I feel like UA has this plan. And I feel like Courtney Morgan and so many others behind the scenes that are working to get this through. But yeah, I'm going to go with the financial route instead of just being like, oh, I'm going for Jer and saying just because of the big names and I can just get another player next year. I just feel like that's not smart.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. Well, here's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. So when they do finally put this cap on thing, $7.5 million, right? Say we're talking about like $21 million or whatever it was initially, and I know it's going to climb. Let's just say the cap ends up being $25 million for revenue share, and that's supposed to cover all sports, man. $7.5 million, that's already, I mean, damn near a quarter, right? I mean, almost a quarter of kind of your whole revenue share for all sports. So what then happens? I mean, these guys take major pay cuts. I'm kind of confused there. Ohio State clearly is healthy. We talk so much about these Texas schools, but sorry, we're still pocket watching here. David Jacobs, this is a recruit. He's not even in college yet, Chase. He's got a verified $1.7 million deal. He's an edge rusher out of Roswell, Georgia. So I don't know. If you guys think this stuff's interesting, here you go. I mean, you can see all these numbers and kind of how it all comes together, right? Maybe, just maybe, it makes sense why Alabama's probably backing off on some of these top recruits. I mean, just think about this, Chase. I mean, we just talked about what a proven guy like Ryan Coleman Williams is making. Now imagine some of these guys. I mean, I saw like the top high school players. I mean, you see 2.5, 2 million, 1.7, 1.5. Now a lot of these start becoming, like, they're not verified, but still, man, I mean, $1 million here. I mean, there's a lot of $1 million that are being thrown around. Several of these are verified. I mean, it kind of makes it a little bit more difficult to justify recruiting at that rate. Such, I guess, so consistently like that. You see what I'm saying, Chase? I mean, if we're already paying our top wide receiver and Ryan Coleman Williams, I get it. People are going to say, what do you mean top wide receiver? You get the point, man. Top wide receiver. 1.8. Quarterback, you expect to start at 2. I mean, these kids, Chase, haven't played a snap. And look at all these 1 mils. And we're through like 30, we're through 40 kids, Chase. 38 kids until it drops. I mean, that's just crazy to me. I didn't realize all these verifieds are on here even for high school. I'll tell you one thing I did notice real quick before we get off this subject. I saw a kid from Irmo, South Carolina, which is right down the street from where I'm from, right? He's committed to Miami. He's an edge player. Now, a little bit different. He's 6'3", 260. I was 6'3 and a half, 205. A little bit more of an outside linebacker. This guy got a verified one. Oh, no, it's not verified, but he's valued at $1 million and committed to Miami. And I feel like he's relatively around the same ranking that I was coming out of high school. I think I just saw that. High 4-star, maybe a 5-star on a site. I was just 5-star on one site. I think that's all you need to consider yourself a 5-star. I'm just saying, can I travel back in time? I would love $1 million coming out of high school. I mean, that's wild, man. Same area where I grew up, Irmo, 20 minutes down the road from where I grew up, man. Same position, man. Shout out to this guy. I love it, man. I love it. I wish I could travel back in time, but I can't. All right, we're about to hit the top of the hour break real quick because we got Clint coming up. The last thing I was going to mention, or I am going to mention, we'll talk about this a little bit later. Contenders by tier list right here, Chase. This is from Brad Crawford, right? He's got six different tiers. Tier one is clear front runners. Tier two is program leadership should prevail. Tier three, roster's worth a second look. Tier four, schedule assistant looks or looms large. And tier five, first-year head coach hesitancy. And tier six, dark horse candidates. Alabama falls in tier three, which is the roster's worth a second look. And other teams in that category, LSU, Texas Tech, Southern Cal, Oklahoma, Texas A&M. So I think that's pretty fair company. If we're being honest here, I think that kind of is right around where you see a lot of these preseason lists. Probably, you know, 10 through low teens, Alabama's coming up on a lot of preseason lists. I'd argue those teams are in that kind of realm, probably viewed similarly. But in terms of clear front runners, Chase, Notre Dame, Miami, like we talked about with Josh Pate yesterday, Oregon as well, Ohio State, and also Georgia. So, I mean, I think those five, I think people would probably agree with. Tier two, he does have Texas under a program leadership should prevail. I don't know if I would include Texas there because I feel like that's kind of the opposite. I feel like when we talk about Texas, they always have the players, the talent, the resources, but they don't live up to the hyper expectations. So I would kind of disagree with that one. Indiana, I get it. Cignetti, people have a lot of faith in him and his program building, what he's doing. That's definitely fair. But I want to go down this list a little bit more, but we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we got Clint Lamb joining us. We'll talk all things Alabama. Then we'll revisit this and more coming up on this Talking Tuesday edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfect.
Chicago Bulls rookie Caleb Wilson made his NBA Summer League debut for the team on Monday. He posted 19 points against the Utah Jazz. With six home runs on his final six swings, Jordan Walker came from the brink to defeat Kyle Schwarber 12-11 to win the 2026 Home Run Derby and stun Schwarber's hometown Philadelphia crowd. According to the Los Angeles County District's Attorney's Office, Rams left tackle Alaric Jackson will not face felony charges stemming from his June arrest for domestic violence. On Monday night, Minnesota Lynx rookie Olivia Miles became the fastest player in the WNBA to reach 400 points, 100 rebounds, and 100 assists as she put up 33 points, combining with veteran Kayla McBride's 37 to defeat the Phoenix Mercury 104-100.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud from our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're now joined by our guest today, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Clint, it's been a minute, man. How's everything going?
It's going fantastic. How you doing today, Christian?
Man, can't complain. Another day, another dollar. Less than a week for media days, man. We're counting down and we're excited. So we're all good this away, man. Hope everything's good that away as well. Clint, I want to dive into a conversation we had earlier, man. I'm just curious your thoughts on this. I know there's been a lot of talk about recruiting and roster management, all this stuff. We had Josh Pate on the show yesterday, and we got his thoughts on it. And it was interesting kind of what he explained in terms of philosophies that a lot of schools are kind of following in terms of going to high school for certain players and positions, stuff like that, and investments. But that said, we were pocket watching a little bit here on the show. I realized that On3, they have like these verifications for valuations nowadays. And the only two that Alabama had on there, they had Keelan Russell. His was verified at $2 million. And then, of course, Ryan Williams, I think it's been like that, like 1.8 shows is verified. But my question is for you, because I know we've talked a lot about Alabama recruiting quarterbacks and stacking all these quarterbacks. I don't know if you've seen that valuation, if you've heard that number before, but what are your thoughts on that in terms of how that fits in kind of what Alabama may be doing with their quarterback room? Because you look at Mensa from Miami, his $6.5 million is now, you know, verified. It's not just a number that's being thrown out there. I would imagine Keelan Russell at two probably means he's the highest paid in that room. I'm sure Austin Mack is probably close, maybe a little bit behind, but still those two and even some of the young guys they have are still less than what Miami's paying for one guy, or even maybe Texas Tech, who was paying five for Sorsby before that betting thing went down. What do you make of that $2 million valuation with Keelan Russell and how that might fit into maybe their approach at the quarterback position?
Well, you know, I think Alabama's been pleasantly surprised with some of these high-profile guys because of the offense that they're going to be playing in, the coaches they're going to be working with, the fact they are confident in the surrounding talent that Alabama's been able to accumulate. They felt good about feeling like they've been taken care of financially, but it's not all about the money. And I think that that's been a pretty important, distinction for Alabama. And it's allowed them to kind of go out there and you see all these quarterback recruits. And it's like we've said, I mean, I think Keelan definitely got a pay bump this offseason. Obviously, he wasn't, I don't think, making $2 million out of high school, even though I'm sure, you know, he was making a pretty respectable amount. When they got in on him, he was a three-star commitment to SMU. When they got in on Jet Tomlin, he was a commitment to Iowa State. And was a kind of a lower rated four star. And then these guys climb. But I think that one of the things that you have to make sure that you do is granted, if right now you kind of probably pitch both him and Austin Mack, we're not going to pay you as the starter because you're not officially the starter. You know, we're kind of going to, I'm sure they're paying both a very respectable amount. Whoever ends up winning that job, the other one's probably going to leave, if I had to guess. And if that ends up being the case, and someone is the returning starter next year, once again, that number is probably going to go up and you have to be ready to kind of, pay that amount, but it will be more so based off of production and production with you, which is a lot more of a sure thing. And those are the guys that you want to pay. I think Alabama's approach is we want to get you in here. We're going to take care of you financially, but where your big money is going to happen is when you start actually proving it on the field for us. and we'll take care of those guys. We want production-based pay for a lot of the players on the roster. And granted, not everybody's going to buy into that. Certain guys are probably going to leave. Sometimes you have situations like with some of the players this past cycle where, you know, the valuation that the coaching staff puts on them versus what they're asking for based off of what they're getting from others, they're not willing to meet a lot of those demands. But it should Keelan Russell win the job, should his production, you know, he end up being one of the better quarterbacks in college football. I'm not telling you that they're going to hand him $6 or $6.5 million. I don't know what it would take to keep him or what that expectation would look like. But just the fact that he's been in the system, he trusts the coaching staff, his family's comfortable there. You know, you can maybe get a guy who probably would command about $6 or $6.5 million on the open market. Maybe you get him for $5 million, or maybe you get him for $5.5 million, or maybe $4.5 million, or something like that. You end up saving money through that developmental process and going after a guy who is willing to come in and kind of let his play do the talking before you start talking massive numbers. Once again, that's going to cause you to miss out on certain talents, and that's unfortunate, but also you can end up saving yourself and being a lot more financially sound in a lot of ways too.
Yeah, and speaking of saving money, we took a look at Ohio State, and they only had a few guys verified as well. Ironically, their quarterback and wide receiver combo, Julian Sand and Jeremiah Smith. And what's crazy, Clint, is those guys were verified, $2.5 million for Sand and $5 million for Jeremiah Smith, which if you do the math, I mean, 3.8 versus 7.5. I mean, Alabama's dang near half with those two players compared to what Ohio State's paying. So I'll be honest with you, kind of made me realize it's probably impressive that this staff, not this recruiting cycle, I guess it's a little bit different this time around, but at least from the year before or whatever it might be, that they're able to recruit as many, you know, top level recruits the way that they do and probably save money the way that they're doing as well. You kind of got to tip your hat if that is the case, which it appears to be, because Ohio State also had a kid that was verified for this 2027 class for a $1.7 million deal. And then you're just thinking like, man, like, I don't even think we were paying our five-star top talent from the, you know, previous cycle anything close to that. So sounds like Alabama's still finding ways to get top talent without necessarily spending, you know, $1 million plus.
Well, one of the things that I want to add is you see that, and granted, Julian Sands coming off of a, you know, a campaign in which he was, you know, Heisman finalist worthy. Jeremiah Smith is obviously the best wide receiver right now in college football, been the best, you know, a generational type of player at that position. So it makes sense. But as far as that recruit that's coming in that you just mentioned making, you know, what was it, 1.7 million?
1.7, yeah.
I mean, the fact that that's now verified, you know, just imagine being a player that plays that position already on Ohio State's roster. Maybe you're a starter and maybe you're making 800,000 or you're making 1 million or you're making 1.2. And it's like, hold up. This kid who's going to be coming in, he's making 1.7. You were comfortable giving him that, but I've been here. I've been productive. Why don't you want to take care of me? And then, of course, for everyone like that, there's someone also is like, hey, I'm not the starter like this guy was that's asking for more money, but I was the number three receiver, the number four receiver, and I had 562 yards and six touchdowns or whatever the case may be. And I'm making, you know, 350. And now all of a sudden the boat's in the room, everybody starts getting elevated. You got to have the money to, now that's why there's fear with a lot of these programs as far as making a lot of this information public. And I'm glad that On3 is doing this, because I do think it adds some transparency. Maybe fans will look at some of these numbers and realize how kind of absurd it is for an unproven high school player to be coming in and instantly become your third highest paid player. But, you know, these are the kind of things that a lot of these coaching staffs and support staffs are having to deal with behind the scenes, and it's trying to manage that. And it's not just about, hey, we got this kid, we've got him, we'll give him a little bit of a pay bump every offseason, but we'll do that to make him happy. We can bring in these players and pay him all this money. No, I mean, everything has to be looked at and evaluated as far as not just the players you're bringing in, but how are you going to keep the guys who are in those rooms happy? Because if you end up losing one of those players as a result of this, and then you end up going with more of the unproven talent, was it really worth it? And a lot of times they would probably tell you no. So, I mean, I'm glad there's more transparency happening with some of these numbers.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't seen it, it's On3. I don't really think you need a subscription. I think you just go to their profiles, and if there's a green check mark, it's basically verified according to them. So there's not a bunch of guys. Like I said, I think they're only like two for Alabama, three if you include this high school recruit, who is, I guess he's viewed as maybe one of the top recruits, if not the top recruit. So he's expected to be a really good player, but still, there's not a whole bunch of these verified numbers. But the more that they come out, you're right, Trent, you're right, Clint, it's going to provide more transparency throughout this whole process, which is definitely very interesting. We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Make sure you guys check out all their great work on all platforms, wherever you find your podcast. Clint, I asked Josh yesterday when he was on our show, man, when you look at 2026, I know we've talked about, you know, expectations in terms of maybe the over-under on the win totals and things like that. We know it's a young team. Pate mentioned even, you know, agreed that 2027 definitely feels like it's going to be a little bit better of a year in terms of making more of a run. However, you know, he pointed out, hey, at the end of the day, Alabama is Alabama. And when it comes to expectations, the expectation should be pretty much at least at the bare minimum, make the college football playoffs each and every single year. You know, he pretty much said, you know, if you're Iowa or one of these other programs, you probably could say, hey, 2026 is maybe a slightly off year where we're young. We're trying to just kind of get through it to get to 27. But at Alabama, he said, I don't think that's really the case, which I definitely, I agree with what he's saying. When you look at this football team, Clint, and given everything that they've got, all the youth, new quarterback, and a lot of new faces, both good or bad, kind of, you know, however you look at this whole situation, what do you consider a positive result for Alabama in 2026? Like, what are those expectations for you that you would say they need to meet this mark for me to consider a success given everything that's factored in?
That's a great question, and Josh is 100% right. I guarantee you, if you were to ask Alabama's coaching staff, they're not going to tell you, hey, you know, we're really not sure about 2026. We don't think we're going to be very good, but we sure are excited about 2027. That's not their approach at all. They're going to try to do squeeze every ounce of ability and production out of this 2026 group as they possibly can. But I also think if they look at it and they can at least acknowledge that things are setting up well for 2027. And so this team, I've told people, it's kind of, there's a wide range of possibilities with it because there are so many questions. I can't blame the national guys. If you've got Alabama, you know, I personally would probably have them somewhere between 11 and 15 as far as any sort of preseason rankings. If it gets outside of that, just with the pure talent in that room, the fact that Kalen DeBoer is universally considered a top 10 coach in college football, I mean, just having them down there at 17 or 18 or 19, that feels a little low to me. But anybody who's sitting there saying, telling you, you have to put this team in the top 10 because of the talent, because of the coach, I also think that that's wrong just because, you know, not everything, all of these questions have to come together. It is possible that enough come together where you can work around some of the limitations of the ones that don't. But, once again, you could end up, I don't see maybe eight and four as a possibility, but I don't see 7-5 as any sort of in this range of outcomes that we're talking about. 7-5 and below feels way too extreme. I think 11-1 or 12-0 feels way too extreme. I've consistently kind of settled on 9-3 feels like the sweet spot, and the reason that it does is I think based off the schedule, is it super tough? No, but there's some good football teams. Obviously, it's a 9-game SEC schedule that makes everything tougher for everybody. I can see them losing a couple of games that are what I would call respectable losses. If you could guarantee me that they were not going to drop a game they're not supposed to, then I would probably feel a lot more comfortable telling you 10-2. The fact that they've gone through each of the first 2 years under Kalen DeBoer and they've dropped at least one game they shouldn't, I'm not going to just automatically assume, well, that's been fixed and corrected. Hopefully it has, but I also am kind of baking in, well, it's possible that you play enough good teams where you maybe lose three times, or maybe you lose to two games that are respectable, and then you lose a game that you're really not supposed to and you go 9-3. That's why I've been so comfortable staying 9-3. Now, at that point, you got to ask yourself, is that a playoff team at 9-3? They will be right there in the conversation. But I don't necessarily, I mean, at this point, a three-loss team, at least not one that, you know, won just 9 games, has not made the playoffs. It's been people that have made it to the conference championships and reached at least 10 wins like Clemson and Alabama. So until then, I'm not going to predict that they make the college football playoff. Would I consider that a successful season? Just with the expectations and where I think things are going to be, that would kind of be par for the course. It would be disappointing if they missed the playoff. But then it becomes, okay, not everything's linear. Not everything is working in one direction. You might have a little bit of a step back this year based off of youth and some coaching changes and new quarterback and just trying to figure some things out. But at that point, 2027 becomes all the more critical. And so I think a lot of it will depend on how they look in some of those games. If they continue to get blown out by the really good teams and they continue to drop games they're not supposed to, I mean, the frustration is going to continue, and I can't really blame fans if that's the case.
Clint, what's one misconception that you think people have about this Alabama team going into 2026? Whether that's something you hear amongst the fan base, which I know, I mean, you cover Alabama extensively and you have a lot of fans listening to what you're doing, or even from maybe people you hear on the national level when you hear maybe some of these national analysts talk about Alabama, right? I mean, because we hear kind of both opinions. Sometimes people are very high on Alabama still, and others, they really lean into, like you mentioned, some of those games that they've dropped that they probably shouldn't have, or some of those, you know, poor performances. And we definitely hear our fair share about that on the national side. But what's maybe one misconception that you think there is about this 2026 football team?
You know, you say 2026 football team. I mean, when you first were asking that question, my mind immediately jumps to Alabama's broke. But when you actually talk about on the field stuff, I think it's more so that this coaching staff understands the importance of a quality run game. It's never been one, you know, there have been times where they've been able to run the football pretty successfully. They just haven't ever given the run game enough volume where that was going to rank high as far as the, you know, yards per game and things like that. So you look and you say, well, historically speaking, Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb have never had a great run game. It's always been built around or centered around the pass. And I mean, it is, don't get me wrong, but they understand the importance of when we line up, we have to have the threat of a run game. And while they might not give it the volume that it needs in order to rank high as far as some of these, you know, rankings and stuff, when they had Dylan Johnson in the backfield and Dylan Johnson was healthy at Washington, I don't care what the numbers say, defenses had to respect Washington's run game. They knew that they were kind of diverse in all the different things that they threw at them. They were great as far as, you know, just the strain, whether it be horizontally or vertically, as far as the passing game and how that played off of the run game. I just think that there was enough there that, you know, and towards the end of the season, once Dylan Johnson got hurt in the playoffs and stuff, when they played against Michigan, I don't think Michigan really respected or had to respect their run game like teams earlier in the season. And granted, Michigan had an elite run defense that year, so obviously it was going to be tough sledding regardless. But I think that really made Washington in that one particular game a lot more one-dimensional compared to when Dylan Johnson was healthy. I mean, you watched him twice against Dan Lanning in Oregon, and you want to say he combined for, I think, both times he went for over 100 yards. I want to say he averaged about 20 carries per game. I think he had 3 total touchdowns in those 2 games. Maybe want to say like 250, 260, or 270 as far as the total rushing yards in those 2 performances. And those were some good Oregon defensive fronts, and it was an SEC-built, you know, Oregon roster. And so I think that there's a reason that they saw the lack of success in the run game this year, and they actually tried to do something about it. That's what people don't understand. I mean, they changed the offensive line coach. I got all new personnel. They went and made sure they got a back like Xavier Crowell. They went and got a guy like Josh Ford, who's really going to bring a blocking element to that room, that tight end room. They've gotten bigger body receivers who obviously they didn't sign Sadarian Morgan or get Derek Meadows to improve the blocking in that room. But I think that having those bigger bodies is going to help them a little bit. It just, there's a lot that's signaling that they feel like that they really need to put more of an emphasis on the run game or make sure that it's in a place where they can put more of an emphasis. And so I think that's probably the biggest misconception in my mind.
Yeah, no, I think that makes total sense. I did a breakdown on that running game, and I think just little details, I like you mentioned, just even them, like their volume, realistically, they're not going to, you know, blow you away with their numbers because they do like to throw the football, right? But I think if they can clean up on their execution and small details in the running game, I think it can probably go a long ways, and I think it improves. I don't think it's going to be drastic personally. I mean, there's still a lot of question marks there, but I think even if you go from 125th nationally down to 105 or 102, I mean, that's still improvement, right? I mean, there's a sign that something improved. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's necessarily about rushing, I guess, the most yards in the country. Is more so just being effective when you do it, kind of like you described. So I definitely share that belief. But real quick, I want to ask you one last question, Clint. This time on the defensive side, I saw that there was an article on Xavier Griffin earlier. I think they were talking with the trainer of his or someone that is a pass rush specialist, and they're talking about his upside as a as an edge rusher and a guy that reminds them similar to maybe Will Anderson. Now, I'll be honest, as a former edge rusher, I kind of disagree with that. Will Anderson is quick twitch, but he actually really, he's more of a power guy. He likes speed to power. To me, I think Xavier Griffin has even more twitch than a guy like Will Anderson, right? They're just different types of rushers. So I get kind of what the guy was saying, but I don't necessarily, I don't like the comparison really, if I'm being honest. Anyway, his upside as a pass rusher, I think Xavier Griffin, I mean, to me, he's probably got some of the highest upside in that room if you do have him coming off the edge. When you look at him, it may be, let's just look at 2026 for this first year. He's a true freshman. I mean, you're already looking at Caleb Woodson and maybe some of the other young guys that have been developing an inside backer. I'm sure he could carve out a role there. But it feels like his skill set has something. He has something with his skill set some of those other guys in that outside linebacker room might not necessarily possess. And I feel like he could really provide a presence there. If it was you and you're in Kane Womack's shoes, how would you play Xavier Griffin, at least in year one? Would you try to start looking at him more as a wolf, maybe even on early downs? Would you stick to it maybe only as a third down, kind of pass rush situational type of deal? How would you handle Xavier Griffin?
Well, I think the number one thing is just as his body has grown, the fact that that same article mentioned, you know, the trainer thinks that he's somewhere in the low 230s. I think, I mean, I want to say Will Anderson is a freshman with 6'4", 235. Not saying he has the same build necessarily. He'll be a lean, you know, 230, 231, kind of more of a Q Robinson type of leanness, despite the fact that Q was north of 230. You still would look at him and say, pretty lean player. But as he's grown, I think they're probably more comfortable with him playing off the ball, or excuse me, on the ball. I think in the spring, they were looking at him as a 205, 210-pound kid when he was showing up, maybe even a little bit lighter than that. And they were thinking, okay, I mean, we can't expect this kid to come in who we paid a lot of money to. I'm sure they gave him a good, you know, respectable financial package. They probably weren't looking at him and thought this is going to be a guy who really contributes in year one for us on the football. But once he got to 222 prior to spring practice, the fact that he's continued to get bigger and the fact that they probably saw him, you know, in the spring, you know, get some of that situational work like we saw a little bit of on A-Day. And they thought, well, hey, I mean, bare minimum, maybe he can give us some situational reps and be an impactful pass rusher for us. Not only that, I think when you look at just everything as a whole, number one, you look at the bandit spot. You have Yonze Pierre, Justin Hill, and as of right now, Jamarian Matthews playing that wolf position. We also think it is possible that maybe a Jamarian Latham continues to play wolf, but I look at him going from 262 last season, gone from 278 the previous year in 2024. It was clear that he was going to be playing wolf. He had announced that he had made that change. But when you heard Kane Womack talking about him in the spring, number one, he's now listed at 270. So he's gained 8 of those pounds back. And Kane Womack talked about his versatility. I more so see him being a guy who you can trust him being a bandit. Like he's one of those players who has some inside experience where I'm looking at Dez Zulu and I worry about him playing a 4-I. I wouldn't worry about that with Latham, especially if he can get back up to where he was playing at before 2 years ago when he was technically Alabama starting bandit. So him alongside Devin Tompkins on top of, you know, Dez Zulu, maybe you can play him more situationally in that instance. It's just if Xavier Griffin was chipping in at Wolf and you had him and those other three guys that I mentioned, you would feel more comfortable about playing Latham exclusively as a bandit or as a guy who, you know, situationally slid inside. But also, maybe even you would go as far as to say Jamarian Matthews could play a little bit of bandit. I think he's more of a bandit long-term and have said that. So maybe that could help shore up your bandit spot a little bit. And when I'm looking at the future, the fact that Alabama's kind of struck out on multiple players in this 2027 class as far as a future Yonze Pierre replacement, if you told me Xavier Griffin was going to stay in that room or he was going to be in that room, first of all, but then stay there, I would feel way better about the future. I would still see a twitched up, explosive, exciting pass rusher, a dynamic pass rusher that could really threaten defenses and be that primary option for you for the future. And so maybe that has something to do with it. You're looking at, you know, post Yonze Pierre in 2026, you're looking at off-ball linebacker, getting, you know, probably getting Caleb Woodson back, maybe that entire room back. You're like, okay, we don't really have to have Xavier Griffin as an off-ball linebacker. It just feels like that everything makes more sense when, you know, you have Xavier Griffin as a wolf. But maybe in the future, maybe they, you know, because I do think they would probably target somebody in the transfer portal during the 2027 cycle. if it gets post 2026, you got that situational work out of him, and then you end up kind of focusing a little bit on, you know, that position group in the transfer portal. Maybe you end up moving Xavier Griffin off the ball at that point, but you can kind of have the flexibility with him having that experience. I love the idea. Think it would give Alabama yet another, you know, strong pass rushing option. And I think in the future, he would platoon pretty well with Justin Hill, who has that run stopping edge setting ability with his immense upside as a pass rusher.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I like the upside at both spots, but now it's intriguing. Like you mentioned, now that he's put that weight on, you definitely feel a lot more comfortable with him holding up at the point of attack if he is playing off the edge. So something to pay attention to this fall camp that's coming up for sure. Clint, I appreciate you. I know we kept you a little longer than usual, but I appreciate you joining us. Before we let you go, man, tell everybody how they can keep up with all the great work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, you can check me out on Cover Crimson on the Cover Crimson YouTube channel. Or if you like to listen to podcasts, just search Cover Crimson Podcast Network. Or you can follow along with me on my personal Twitter account at Clint R. Lamb. Once again, Christian, as always, brother, good talking to you again, and I look forward to next week.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, man. Likewise. Take care, Clint.
Absolutely, man.
Yes, sir. Good deal. Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson joins us on Tuesdays. We appreciate him and his contributions here on the Miller's Edge. We got to hit a timeout. We come back, we'll respond and keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Lusa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida. Presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th.
Done by the professionals at ADT Precision Armory. Open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, behind Big John's Barbecue in Moundville. They do the weird stuff.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep your umbrella open to dodge the raindrops. Cloudy skies, periods of showers and thunderstorms. It'll feel warm at 84. Gentle southeast breeze at 5. Wet weather continues tonight, leaving things damp down to 71. Sunny, warm, and sticky tomorrow with afternoon thunderstorms. High tomorrow, 88. And bright sunshine, hot temperatures as we move into Thursday. Thursday's high topping out at 90. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From yesterday's legends
to tomorrow's stars.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
No one better.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson who joined us on Tuesdays. I'll probably clip that up and post it. That was a good interview, man. I feel like we got a number of good things discussed in that interview, and we'll post that so you guys can go back and check it out. And make sure you guys go check out Clint and Cover Crimson, all the good work that they're doing over there as we keep rolling into football season, less than a week away from SEC Media Day. So we have plenty of content and interviews and reactions. We'll do all that, break all that stuff down. And speaking of breakdowns, we got a new breakdown coming, so be on the lookout for that secondary breakdown. Starting with the cornerbacks, part one will be on the cornerbacks. Xavien Brown, Dejon Lee, really going to dive into those two players on this next video. So check us out on our YouTube channel to stay up to date with that. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, good brother?
Oh, it's going well, Smitty. It's going well. How's everything?
Good, good. Hey, every day above ground is a great day to me.
Man.
But the thing is, right, I listen to you guys talking about the whole would you pay this, would you pay that. There's two parts. If you're talking about just solely by themselves, you're talking about Ryan versus Jeremiah, it's going to be Jeremiah every time. But at the same time, when you broke it down with Cam Coleman and Ryan, then I would take those two, if you get what I'm saying.
I agree.
But what happens is, let's use the NFL, for example. Most of the time, you're only going to pay one receiver your number one big-time money. But there's also a little fact that a lot of fans don't get. There aren't that many true number one receivers walking on the planet right now. And you pay that guy. But you're not going to pay your number two as much. Heck, you may even go with a draft pick there or a guy who may be like less. With the Buccaneers, right, we paid Mike Evans money. Chris Godwin got money too, but it wasn't the same as Mike Evans.
Right.
So we still have money to pay other people, especially when Brady was there. Now you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, they're paying top money for two receivers. Jamar Chase is great. T. Higgins is a very good receiver. But Joe Burrow still getting the tar kicked out of him since he got there. And they did pass on Penei Sewell, by the way, for Jamar Chase. I don't care how great your receiver is. If you need a left tackle, you take the Hall of Fame left tackle every time.
I agree.
And defense is still struggling there. So a lot of fans don't understand the art of team building. Even Texas has a budget of what they're going to pay. They're going all in this year. But that has a negative effect on Sark because they're saying we give you all this, you better produce. I just think that fans got to understand there is team building here. And I said from the beginning, these salaries should be public because that will kind of settle things down. Because you remember what happened to Ole Miss, right? Lane Kiffin posted up salaries. I'm sorry, allegedly Lane Kiffin. Those salaries. And some of the veteran players like, hold on, I've been here. You bringing somebody new in here to pay them more than me? I'm in the portal.
That's true.
And that's why I was using you as an example. You was a veteran, all SEC linebacker, and they brought in a freshman making $1 million, 1.2, 1.3. You making 700. You're not going to be happy. And no veteran going to be happy. Those are the dynamics, and that's why these schools want those, like Clint said, don't want those salaries public. But you kind of got to still take care of the people on your team as well. And I want fans to understand that as well, because those guys been going through the mud with you, those hard camps, those hard practices. You take care of them. And the new guys, you earn your keep, but we will take, like Alabama's done, but they take care of those guys as well, because those guys have gotten pay bumps. I just want fans to understand that.
Well, I was going to say this. I mean, number one, it sounds like you guys are getting what you wish for in terms of them releasing this.
Yep.
And I think this is new because I think they already had NIL evaluations on 3, but if I'm not mistaken, because it's trending on Twitter, I want to say they just finally started verifying these numbers. And there's not a whole bunch as it sits currently, but best believe those are going to start rolling in there. And that's going to start creating a lot more transparency in terms of even recruits. It's going to probably shuffle some things up. Best believe that. But two, what I was going to add was this just came in from Mike Rodak, on X. In terms of, the new 5-for-5 thing and getting rid of like those red shirts and stuff,
now Alabama's got 24 seniors listed on their roster for 2026 that all will be eligible to come back and play again in 2027, right? So 24 guys, and I'm not going to read through everybody, but some key ones you'll see. I mean, Austin Mack, he'll be, you know, eligible again in 27. You see Khalifa Keith, the running back they just got from the transfer portal. I think he's more of a depth guy, clearly, but still, he can return. Noah Rogers can return. Rayson Delgado, Ethan Fields, Javen James. I mean, all these guys are still, they're listed as seniors, but they can come back and play again if they want. Yonze Pierre, Desmond Zulu, right? I mean, Caleb Woodson, Bray Hubbard. So when you're talking about paying players and whatnot, I mean, the fact that all those guys that are quote-unquote seniors but now have been gifted or eligible again for another year, I mean, that you got to take that stuff into consideration, right? I mean, what would you rather have? Now, obviously, if you go get a guy that's going to be better and upgrade your team, then you go do that. But who would you rather have? I mean, a guy like Zulu or one of these other guys you brought in who is experienced, he's played. Now, maybe that true freshman that you're trying to recruit has more upside, but he's young. Who are you going to get more out of the next year? I would probably say the fifth-year Desmond Zulu than an 18-year-old kid out of high school. And you're probably paying a lot less money. So it's very interesting how all this stuff is kind of coming together.
Yeah, and the thing is, I was thinking about it when you talked about that. And those are guys who've been in your program. And I remember Courtney Morgan said, he was like, yeah, you see a guy run, make a big run? Yeah, we got to give him some more NIL. So they're taking care of these people because many guys hit the portal because they ain't getting the money they promised. True. It just doesn't come out, and that happens. At least with Alabama, from what I understand, they're getting what they promised, they're getting taken care of, and you can live with that. I think, like you said earlier, like someone like Zulu, right? We're not even saying that he's on first-round pick, right? But he's been in your system. He's experienced. And not just experience playing. It's the weight room also. He's getting his body right. And that's a big adjustment from high school for most of these guys. So you got that guy that you can lean on while that freshman is developing. Now, you have some guys like a Bray Hubbard who may declare for the draft because he's not going to improve his stock staying at school. Pierre would be a fool to come back. So he's a first-round pick, in my opinion. But to me, this is good for continuity also, because fans want continuity. They know there's going to be attrition. Folks are going to leave. But I think this also helps with some guys staying, that they may not be in a rush because you have 5 years. And maybe also some of these coaches, they may let somebody go. Like, what's that kid's name? Ibakwe, they wasted money on him, you know. But I hope that he does well in his next stop, because I want all those young men to do well. But I just think, like, with this whole roster building in college, it's ever evolving. There are rules that we didn't know. Because we didn't know that was a rule where guys had 30 days to transfer after the coach leave. We didn't know that could Saban retire. We was like, when this rule come in? And you notice all those other schools kind of playing that out accordingly when they fired their coach, you know, like this past season, they're firing coaches in the middle because where are you going to go? So that's the stuff that we didn't know that it's evolving, it's changing. And I think that we just need things in this system where you can have some continuity, because even in NFL, there's continuity with your top players. Jalen Hurts isn't walking up to the Eagles every year wanting a pay raise. He signs a 5-year deal. Year four, they may talk then. College, these guys are getting talked to all the time. You remember South Carolina game? I think your dad said they got to talk to Keelon Russell after the game to try to get him to come over. And Kalen DeBoer had to shut that down, you know. I think your dad sent him, by the way. He won't admit. I'm kidding, guys. But the thing is, you know, but that stuff happens because these guys are being tampered with, talked to all day. And I think you have to take care of those young men, because you're getting that stuff every day, because you got to recruit your player every single day. And I think that is, with these salaries being public, I think it puts more onus on the school to make sure they pay these guys what you promised them. But it also could be a good way of setting that hierarchy, because I do believe Coleman Williams should be the highest paid receiver on the team. guy, he put in the work. He's our best guy. And he's been here 3 years. C.D. Morgan should not make more than Ryan Williams. I don't care how big and strong he is. He's a freshman who had to prove himself. But once he proves himself this year, he'll get a bump. And I think most players can live with that as well, because you kind of dangle a carrot still, because these players out there are competitive. And they know there's a carrot dangling in front of them. And especially with other players seeing that the guys before them got taken care of, I think that could be a good thing as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, the more we kind of start seeing how these things fall into place, whether it's the new, you know, red shirts are expelled, and now these guys now have another year of eligibility, seeing what other teams are overpaying probably for some of their players. I mean, it makes sense why, you know, you're not just seeing Alabama maybe just go all out and just throw things around and, you know what I mean, do things where people might think they should be doing.
Yep.
There's a little bit more logic to it when you start hearing all the little details. That said, I mean, I'm sure we could probably do a little bit more here and there with certain things, but
yep.
I think it still makes more sense in the other way, in the other sense that, yeah, if you have all these guys that can still come back next year, why would you start throwing all this money at these kids that they might not even be ready to really contribute the following year? I mean, I would have much rather, yep, we're talking about making a run like right now. I'd rather have the more experienced player. My dad always says, and I agree, you know, experience trumps talent.
Hey, can I say this before you run? Thanks for taking my call, as always. But
yeah,
well, sure. Yes, Josh Payton, if y'all talked to Clint also about the expectations of making the playoffs, I agree. But fans also have to remember, people are choosing the playoff teams. You're already going to lose a spot for, like, the four conference champions and Notre Dame and a group of six. So if you're number 10 in the poll, you're not making the playoff. And if you're 9-3 before conference championship weekend, you're not getting in. They don't care about your strength of schedule. It's all about who has the least amount of losses. So you have, so fans, I want you guys to remember that. Now, if you wanted the first teams out like you were at 23, the first team out, but it was 24, I'm sorry. Hey, that happens. But I just want people to understand the system as well before they start breaking their TVs, that they don't care about your strength of schedule. They're picking these teams, and at least six spots already spoken for already. Just got to remember that. But I think we'll have a shot at it this year. But you have a good one, Christian.
I think so, too. I mean, if they play their cards right, I think so. I mean, it's definitely going to have to, you know, get through those growing pains. But I agree, man. I agree. Smitty, I appreciate you, brother.
Hey, you have a good one, good brother.
Yes, sir. You too, man. All right, good deal. We're going to hit this time out. We come back. We'll wrap things up on this Talking Tuesday edition. If you guys want to sneak in a phone call, we still got a few minutes when you come back right here. 205-342-9904 on this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
From services for our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9.
Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are public 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Single, family, and corporate memberships available. Located at 14931 Seed Town Road in Foster's, Alabama.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep your umbrella open to dodge the raindrops. Cloudy skies, periods of showers and thunderstorms. It'll feel warm at 84. Gentle southeast breeze at 5. Wet weather continues tonight, leaving things damp down to 71. Sunny, warm, and sticky tomorrow with afternoon thunderstorms. High tomorrow, 88. And bright sunshine, hot temperatures as we move into Thursday. Thursday's high topping out at 90. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
WTBC. Quick reminder about our friends over at Lamprella Law Education Advocacy. If you haven't checked them out already, make sure you guys go do that for all of your representation needs. If you find yourself in a situation, hey, things happen, make sure you contact Lamprella Law. Of course, they'll get you squared away, and they'll do it at a very affordable rate. They beat out the competition. That's the biggest thing about them, is the prices that they'll represent you for. Of course, academic misconduct matters, NIL, any criminal defense matter, they got you covered. And also those services that they offer for high school, college, or graduate students, whether that's academic and career planning, subject matter mastery, or even exam and test taking preparation, they'll get you guys covered. So make sure you guys contact them today. Lamprello-law.com is the website. You can schedule a free consultation, contact Adam and his team, and they'll get to working for you for a great price. Again, at Lamprello Law and Education and Advocacy, all those great things. All right, so we're winding down. We only got like a minute or two left. But just touching on this tweet right here, if you guys haven't seen this, we talked about it briefly with Smitty a second ago. But now that the red shirt stuff is gone, all these names right here, 24 seniors that are listed right here on Mike Rodak's tweet, these guys will be eligible again in 2027. So As you guys can see, I mean, Alabama's roster is going to be pretty much barring, you know, guys, there's going to be a couple guys that hit the portal, right? That's just part of it. But, I mean, I would argue that, I mean, there's, you see why there's not a whole bunch of room when it talks, when people talk about the roster just kind of being full. Now with this new rule, man, all these guys can return. So I kind of wonder how that affects high school recruiting. We've talked about that a little bit in the past, kind of these rules with guys coming back. But it's weird, though, the way they list it on the website, because now it's like if you're not a senior, or it goes, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And then if you're a fifth guy, there's no more like redshirt senior, it just says fifth. And then if you're a sixth year guy, which those guys are going to be kind of, you know, weeded out here shortly, it just says sixth. So the classifications have changed. It's a little interesting, but just thought I wanted to point that out. That said, we got to wrap things up. That'll do it for us in this Talking Tuesday edition. Appreciate all you guys hanging out with us another 2 hours here during your lunches, I'm sure. Always appreciate you guys via radio, streaming, whether it's YouTube, Facebook, X, all that good stuff. We appreciate all our listeners. And just know we've got that new breakdown coming for you guys very soon. You can catch it on our YouTube channel. So make sure you guys go ahead, go to our YouTube channel, At the Miller's Edge, subscribe. Make sure you guys turn on notifications. That way you get notified when our new videos drop, which will be the secondary breakdown, which is coming to you guys very soon. Hope you guys have a great rest of y'all's day. Big thanks to Chase Norris behind the glass. And we look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here, same time, same place, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.